This episode is sponsored by Indeed. Building a great team is never easy. If you're a small business, hoping the right people see your job posting isn't the best growth strategy. When the pressure's on and you need the right hire, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Indeed Sponsored Jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Because when you're hiring, you don't just want more applicants, you want the right applicants. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's because it helps you reach candidates that meet your specific criteria, such as skills, certifications, or location from the word go, boosting your job post in search results so you can reach the people that help your business thrive. So spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all of your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Cadillac has entered Formula One, deepening the racing pedigree behind every V-Series on the road. Discover a lineup that delivers pure adrenaline in the form of modern luxury. Experience the quickest Cadillac ever, the all-electric Lyriq V, the peak performance of the CT5V Blackwing, the nimble agility of the Optiq V, and the legendary roar of the Escalade V, all engineered to thrill. Find out more about Cadillac's performance story in Formula One and our race-tested V-Series lineup at Cadillac.com.
Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store or Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello and welcome to Silverstone for F1 Nation's preview of the British Grand Prix. It's the fourth F1 sprint of the season, so lots of points are up for grabs and no doubt there's going to be a lot of action. I'm Tom Clarkson and joining me in the paddock is F1 TV's lead commentator, Alex Jakes. Now, Jakesy, it's great to see you. The British Grand Prix hits different, doesn't it?
It is manic in the best possible way. I have heard it described, Tom Clarkson, as Glastonbury with a few races in the middle by a very esteemed member of this paddock. Yeah, it is a total festival of motor racing. All the races we go to are great. They're all special, international sporting event. But some of them feel like occasions, and this feels like an occasion.
500,000 people are going to come onto this 800-acre site this weekend. And it is also one of the great racetracks as well, isn't it? 5.8Ks of just fast-twisting asphalt, isn't it?
They've had so many different versions of this place since they first went racing here, but they always seem to come up with a classic. We've got some of the best corners of the entire season in Maggots and Becketts. Just any way you sit, though, you're in for a treat. And it is some of the drivers' absolute favourite out there. This is top of the bill for a lot. And the one thing I would say is this is a big weekend in general in terms of presence. I've just walked down the commentary box row. It's completely rammed in a way that I've not seen so many broadcasters here. It is one of the best motor races of the season. But what's amazing is sometimes you get tracks where it's a great racetrack, but maybe it's not epic for quali. This is both, and it's why the drivers love it, and it's why the atmosphere is red hot.
Well, should we go through the runners and riders? I mean, we're just off the back of the Austrian Grand Prix, where, you know, George Russell closed the gap again on his teammate Kimi Antonelli in the World Championship. It was a good race from George. He did everything he wanted to do in terms of winning and closing that gap. But what was your take on the pecking order Who had the fastest car last weekend?
Well, I think Mercedes had the fastest car. I think if you gave Kimi Antonelli, do you remember a couple of years ago we had a back-to-back races in Austria? If we had a Styrian Grand Prix this weekend, I think Antonelli would be very, very confident. But in the fine margins, the execution makes the difference. George needed a response in terms of performance, I think, more than anything. Pole position in Spain was important, but winning. I mean, you keep casting your eye back to when did George last win with a car that has been the benchmark since we rolled out for winter testing. The season opener, he needed that victory to lend credibility to the championship challenge, and he found a response. You get 25 points whether you win by 25 seconds or you win by 1 second. So all that he needed was the win. He secured it. Remember where we were a year ago? Oscar Piastri with the form, Lando Norris clinging on to the title battle. You win one in Austria, you follow it up in Silverstone, the narrative changes very, very quickly.
I was chatting to Ollie Bearman yesterday, and he was saying it'll be fascinating to see whether COPS turn 9 is flat. And then he went, if you're in a Mercedes, it probably is.
Yeah.
So Mercedes, you think, are going to have the fastest car?
Yes.
Antonelli did a lot of his TPC testing here at Silverstone a couple of years ago. So do you think they start evens, the two Merck guys, in terms of who's favourite?
I think they do. Antonelli had his first F2 win here as well. That was in the wet, but he left the field behind. Didn't matter what safety car restarts the way. He won the race. He was a second lap faster than everyone. It was just a glimpse of the raw talent when he had his breakthrough F2 win here. George Russell has been on pole position here before. Beating Lewis Hamilton to a pole at Silverstone is a mighty feat. Doesn't happen very often. He did it in 2024 when we had three Brits in the top three. But I do think they start completely even. And it's going to make that FP1 absolutely vital. Hitting the ground running. And if you think of how many times Russell has been, I went into Q3 and I didn't quite know if we had the car. Compared to the baseline pace, I'd say that Antonelli, potentially, on the evidence of the weekends so far this season, has a better start to the weekend. And if you consider they've got 1 hour to calibrate the cars, that could give him a slight advantage, but very, very close.
George has a slightly rubbish race result here. Talk about the pole a couple of years ago, but what is it? I'm just looking at, I actually noted it down. Retired fifth, retired 10th since he's been at Mercedes.
Never on the podium here, despite having a Mercedes capable of the podium. The year that he was on pole, he broke down, and that was a race that went all the way to the end. I mean, Max Verstappen nearly won that race in a Red Bull that should not be capable of it. One of the best Grand Prix. 2024 British Grand Prix got a claim to be one of the best Grand Prix I've ever commentated on. So, but you're right. His race distance here, not particularly strong. Last year undone by a tyre gamble at the very start of the race. And if you get that wrong, it's a long lap here, as Oscar Piastri found out a couple of years ago as well. You get the strategy wrong at any point, a long lap of Silverstone can destroy your race. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether he can bring slightly stronger stints across the board, across the entirety of the 52 laps. Because as you say, not a lot of evidence that he's done that so far in the Mercedes years.
And for Antonelli, he made a few mistakes in qualifying last weekend. Although he's still got a healthy lead in the World Championship. You know, with Hamilton winning a couple of races ago, teammate winning last time out, I think in his mind, he needs to change that. I think there's an impatience starting to enter his driving. That's why we saw him make the mistakes in qualifying. He needs a win just to settle things down.
Always helpful. I think we have to remember he's in his second season. Q3 in Austria felt to me, a driver who's been there, done that, has 8 seasons of experience up against someone that is still feeling. Remember last year when Russell was on pole in Singapore and Antonelli had a car capable of that and looked the better driver all the way through. He admitted after that he was still feeling the adrenaline, that he was getting emotional thinking of the opportunity for minimum front row, and it affected his driving. That is still going to be there until you get about 3 or 4 seasons. The progression has been a leap and a bound from season 1 to season 2, but he's only human and you're going to come across things. Did the LED board say single yellow or double yellow? George knows instant, got the capacity in real time to process that in essentially what is you go over the crest for that corner as well. Essentially that's 200 meters of decision making. A driver in their second year just doesn't have the reps in the same way that a driver with all of the George experience it has. And I think that is what made the difference there. I think he can come into this weekend with just delighted with his core pace across the season. And that will give him the confidence. But as you say, and as I pointed to Lando versus Oscar last year, you can rebuild momentum very, very quickly with back-to-back wins. So it's more, I think it's more about keeping Russell in the difficult place than Antonelli being reassured with a victory.
This episode is sponsored by Indeed. Building a great team is never easy. If you're a small business, hoping the right people see your job posting isn't the best growth strategy. When the pressure's on and you need the right hire, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Indeed Sponsored Jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Because when you're hiring, you don't just want more applicants, you want the right applicants. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's because it helps you reach candidates that meet your specific criteria, such as skills, certifications, or location from the word go, boosting your job post in search results so you can reach the people that help your business thrive. So spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all of your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Cadillac has entered Formula One, deepening the racing pedigree behind every V-Series on the road. Discover a lineup that delivers pure adrenaline in the form of modern luxury. Experience the quickest Cadillac ever, the all-electric Lyriq V, the peak performance of the CT5V Blackwing, the nimble agility of the Optiq V, and the legendary roar of the Escalade V, all engineered to thrill. Find out more about Cadillac's performance story in Formula One and our race-tested V-Series lineup at Cadillac.com.
Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Now, what about Ferrari? Lewis Hamilton. Wasn't so long ago he got his first win in red. He loves this place.
He does.
That record 9 wins. Difficult to read what happened in Austria. They lacked straight line speed, despite bringing the engine upgrade there. I mean, how do you predict what Ferrari are going to do here at Silverstone?
I think they take solace from the fact that Barcelona has a lot of long duration medium and high speed corners. They were very, very good there. It was warm. It's expected to be warm here. The Silverstone wind is biting, so even when it's 30 degrees it sometimes feels that it's 15, but it will be a warm track temperature, crucially for Ferrari, with a similar corner profile that you get in Barcelona. The one thing is the deployment, Mercedes deployment, their energy management with these power units is just superlative. You did see Charles Leclerc being overtaken into turn 9, for example, in Austria. So I think Lewis Hamilton called it a reality check, didn't he? And I think it really was. But that is not a Ferrari circuit. Austria has never been, in the way that they always turn up to Monaco with a sniff because that car has good mechanical grip, they never really seem to go well in Austria. So I think they'll be much happier. And the fact that Lewis was talking about, oh, I wouldn't mind if it rained, I think that is telling about their dry weather performance, because I think they know they'll be just a touch off Mercedes.
You know how Nigel Mansell used to say,
I think it varied from year to year, but was it half a second or 0.2 seconds that the British crowd was worth? I think Lewis feeds off it. He's such an emotional, passionate man and driver, isn't he, that it brings out the best in the great man, doesn't it?
I've spoken to the drivers about this, and they say it's not so much you obviously can't hear with the earplugs and the V6 engine behind you, but when the crowd start moving, when you're making moves and the crowd start moving, the drivers can tell at that point. Now, bless Nigel, an unbelievable theatrical character and a massive player in Silverstone's great history. Half a second when it was basically completely flat. I'm not so sure, but it definitely gives the drivers a lift. I mean, who wouldn't be lifted by a crowd that... One of my favourite things about this weekend is that the Brits get unbelievable support. Like, I would, you know, football crowd, vociferous partisan support. But there is a great respect for everyone who's quick. The only requirement for this crowd is that you are rapid and you'll be applauded over the line. Doesn't matter who's on pole. Max on pole last year. You could see the crowd respecting that lap on the edge. That's what I think makes this such a great week.
There's a huge respect and a huge love for motorsport.
I think that that is reflected. Even when you put 160,000 people around the circuit on Sunday, I still think that whoever wins gets a warm and knowledgeable reception.
And do you think Hamilton is the man most likely at Ferrari to do something? Do you think Leclerc is still a little bit off?
I think he's lost. I think he's lost right now in terms of the direction of what these cars need. Doing research before this event, I found it really interesting to look at where George laid the blame for his form going slightly awry. And he said the races being postponed gave the team and his side of the garage an unbelievably long time to dig into the data in the way that they wouldn't normally have. So they went into the minuscule stuff and found themselves going down the wrong path. I wonder if the same thing has happened with Charles Leclerc's side of the garage, because we know he's not operating at his capability. I wonder if these regulations have taken away possibly his greatest strength, which was Q3, absolutely dancing on the edge of grip through the corners, and he hasn't quite calibrated. And his side of the garage potentially going down the wrong path, because it is Charles Leclerc at the moment on the back foot in a way that we've never seen at Ferrari.
There's almost too much data available. You can just go down a rabbit hole, can't you? And you sense, I love what you say about George, and actually you could say the same about Charles, who is such an instinctive driver, isn't he? Maybe he's lost some of that. Let's talk about another instinctive driver, Max Verstappen.
Back in
massive,
the fight.
Do you think? Right, back in the fight after what we saw in Austria.
You know that if you can get him close, his enormous capability gets into the mix. And I think Hamilton being back at the front puts pressure on drivers in a different way. I think Verstappen being back at the front puts pressure on drivers in a different way. There's an aura about the guy. No one, not even he, would have predicted that he was less than 2 seconds from the win in Austria. Even with his capability, it's one of his best circuits by a mile, his ability. You remember when he put a lap on his teammate, Pierre Gasly, Grand Prix winner, for goodness sake, around there. So it's one of his best circuits. And what he did last year, gambling with the low downforce setup and managed to make it work in qualifying and then didn't have the weather the next day. If you can get him in the fight, he does the rest. And he heaps the pressure on. The one thing I was disappointed about in Austria, that we didn't get to see them go wheel-to-wheel for a win. George Russell versus Max Verstappen. We have seen them side-by-side before, but never for a Grand Prix victory with George running at the front. Seen it a bit in Canada a couple of years ago, but George being caught by Max Verstappen, that was a tantalising prospect. I think Max believes the win was possible in Austria.
100%.
And that they made a few calls that he would want back again. So that is enormous. This is a very different circuit. We know the PU is great. If they can deploy the energy in an effective way, there's no reason he can't be back in the battle.
I asked him after the race whether he thought the effectiveness of the upgrades was track specific, i.e. just for Austria. And he said, I'm taking it one race at a time.
Yeah.
But there was a smile there. There was a knowing smile. You know, that car is aerodynamically strong.
It was a complete overhaul. I think the biggest tell is when a team that have for so many years been so aggressive with the side pods suddenly come with a sort of 2,000 straight side pod all the way down to the floor. You know they've found something. You know there's a confidence there to go away from what they used to do. And the tradition of that aero department is one of strong development throughout a season. So I can understand why there's confidence there.
Now, Jake C, Max is 98 points off Antonelli. Game on?
I mean, that is... Can you imagine if we said this a year ago and you'd think it was...
Well, it was more a year ago and there were fewer races
left. It was preposterous that he could even get in the mix. I think their starts, the variability on the starts, the fact that Isaac got off the line very, very poorly in Barca, the fact that Max's race lasted a second in Monaco, I think there's just way more unreliability this year, which would help you if it works, but that Red Bull does not look bulletproof, is where I'm going with this. So I think it's going to be far harder than it was for him last year. But if you have, you know, you have Verstappen back in the mix for wins, you've got George, Kimi every week, Ferrari, we will get an answer to where they are this weekend. 7-point swing, that is tough. 10-point swing, 15-point swing, big margins disappear very, very quickly, as we saw at the back end of last year.
And we haven't even talked about McLaren yet.
Yeah.
Another team that, you know, can take points off title favourites. Disappointing race for them last time out, but Lando drove a brilliant race in Barcelona. You've said it yourself already. This track is much closer to Barca in terms of what it demands of a car. So is there a reason for people in the Lando stand at Stowe to be excited?
The bigger than ever Lando stand. I've never seen Stowe with the size of grandstands it's got this year. Yeah, they can be confident because Lando is, when it's working and he gets a clean weekend, And I'm not sure he's had an entirely clean weekend in terms of all the sessions so far, in terms of unreliability. His core pace this year is very strong. He's very unlucky not to win the Grand Prix in Miami. Similar opening sector there to what we saw. The fact that Mercedes were having to mark him off with their strategy in Barca speaks to his strong performance there. Similar characteristics. I think he will be definitely in the mix for the top three.
And I think there's a swagger about Lando this year. He's definitely loving the world champion tag. Whether it's giving him lap time, but it's certainly, I think he's more confident, he's more relaxed. And I think perhaps that's one of the reasons why in recent races, okay, perhaps not Austria, but there's been a bit of a gap, a bit of a margin between him and Oscar.
I think he's at full capability. No longer has the weight of the world on his shoulders. No matter what happens in the rest of his career, he's achieved his childhood dream. As you say, he's wearing the tag of champion really nicely. If you look at all the events that he went to in the winter, even though it was going to be a short winter, he went to everything. He said yes to every invite. And great. Like, he's worked incredibly hard his entire life for that moment. And I think because they've got off to the slightly rough start, because he knows it's very, very unlikely he can retain his title, he's driving at 100%.
And Jake C, he is my guest on the latest episode of F1 Beyond the Grid. And he is really interesting on how becoming world champions changed him and whether he sees himself as a one-team driver.
Hmm.
Not going to tell you what he says. Have a listen, Jake C. Look, one last team before we conclude. Just Racing Bulls.
Hmm.
What a phenomenal season they're having. Last three races, both cars in the points. Any reason to think they can't do the same here? It's one of their home races. Half the team based just down in Milton Keynes.
It's been absolutely outstanding. If you consider that we've got a big four, we've got a defined big four from previous regulation set to this regulation set. So if all goes to plan, you're fighting over 9th and 10th. So to back to back and then to follow it up again in Austria, even though a few shenanigans with ignoring team orders from Arvid Lindblad, all worked out. No harm done. Lawson finally with a full season, with a pre-season, with no team switch, funnily enough, very, very strong behind the wheel. And pleased he's been able to do that. Because I think he's always had that talent. And then if you look at the strange way he came in, subbing for Danny Ric, and then a half season, and then it should have been nowhere near Red Bull. The team believed it. A lot of politics at play there. obviously that structure has now evolved, and his level of performance is ever since he got the suspension update last year in Austria, which saved his Formula One career, let's be clear. Hadjar was wiping the floor with him up until that, got the feel, and then has just built and built and built and built. And I think Lindblad can be very happy with his rookie season. To make Q3 on four occasions, same as your teammate who's driving at his best, it's a very strong start for an 18-year-old. Alain Permain's running that team brilliantly.
He is indeed. Well, Jake C, thank you for your time. Predictions is the only way to go now. Let's give it a sprint winner and top three in Sunday's Grand Prix, please.
Ooh, I love it. Let's go for sprint winner. I think is going to be Kimi Antonelli.
I didn't ask you for this, but from pole?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think he's starting weekend so strong. I think Grand Prix winner is going to be George ahead of Kimi. And I think we'll see Lando in third.
And where is George going to pass Kimi?
I don't think he's going to pass him. I don't think
he's going to do it from pole?
I think he's going to do it from pole. And I think having re-established himself again, having got himself into the mix, we cannot downplay George Russell's capability in Q3. We've seen it so many times across his entire career, best until last. And he's had to be in the shadow of Lewis. Then he's had to watch guy that he climbed the ladder with win the world title. Then he's got off to an appalling start in his first ever real championship challenge. I think the last two events have restabilized him back to where he was in Australia. He will get so much from the crowd that I think he will believe it's his time.
Jakesy, can we disagree?
Go on.
Oh, I agree with you about Antonelli. I think the fast start that you talked about earlier is bang on, and I think he will win the sprint.
Yeah,
I've got my money on Max Verstappen for the Grand Prix.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Mercedes have an exceptional car, but I think the high-speed aero on that Red Bull has totally brought Max Verstappen back into this, and Max for the win with the two Mercs behind him. That's what I'm predicting for Sunday.
If we get another competitive race with Max in the mix, we're in for a treat. Crowd are in for a treat. It's a bold claim. It's a bold claim.
Remember, we couldn't see what he could do in qualifying.
That's true.
Last time out.
That's true. Vastly updated car. They're a long way off in Barca. I just got a question on getting that car off the line.
Jakesy, thank you so much. Enjoy the British Grand Prix weekend. I know it's a very busy one for you. And in selected countries, you can hear Jakesy's commentary of every session live on F1 TV and on Apple TV in the US and on Channel 4 here in the UK. Where are you not on air, quite frankly, Jakesy? You can also keep across all the action at F1.com, the F1 app, and at F1 on social media. And we'll be back on Monday to dissect all of the action. Thank you very much for listening. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios. Cadillac has entered Formula One, deepening the racing pedigree behind every V-Series on the road. Discover a lineup that delivers pure adrenaline in the form of modern luxury. Experience the quickest Cadillac ever, the all-electric Lyriq V, the peak performance of the CT5V Blackwing, the nimble agility of the Optiq V, and the legendary roar of the Escalade V, all engineered to thrill. Find out more about Cadillac's performance story in Formula One and our race-tested V-Series lineup at Cadillac.com.
Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.